waters in the Jordan, and then comes back out in John the Baptizer's arms. And then heaven itself is rent open, and the audible voice of God says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, Son of God wasn't just a way of saying that Jesus had a special relationship with the Father, although there's no doubt that's true. But in the Hebrew Scriptures, Son of God was a name for Israel, and then later for the Messiah, Israel's representative, a king-like figure on the horizon who would draw Israel's story to its climax and usher in the kingdom of God. So Jesus' baptism is the turning point in his life, where he gets incredible clarity about who he is and what he's called to do. No doubt he had an idea for years growing up in Nazareth, but this is the moment inaugurating his life's work. And Jesus, newly armed with a vocation, with a calling from God, goes out proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near." Within days, word is out on the street. There's a rabbi named Jesus who is preaching radical, evocative, dangerous, exciting new things, as well as healing the sick, casting out demons, standing up to the religious elite, and some people even say raising the dead. In fact, some people think he's more than a rabbi, he's a prophet, or even more, the Messiah. And some people think he could be even more than that. On his second day of work, Jesus goes out early for prayer. His disciples find him a few hours later and say, "Everybody is looking for you. Vanity Fair is calling, they want to do a piece. Anderson Cooper is waiting outside. The Times shot an email about an op-ed." You're expecting Jesus to say, "Let's do it." But instead, he says, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." That's Jesus for no. Why would Jesus turn down such an incredible opportunity? Because he knew what he was called to do, which means he also knew what he wasn't called to do. He wasn't just called to Capernaum. He was called to Galilee as a region and then later to Israel itself. And so, quote, "he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." And as he goes all over the north of Israel doing his thing, the writer Mark has this word he uses over and over for people's response to Jesus' work, expleso. It's translated amazed or marveled or overwhelmed. People are blown away by Jesus' skill. As one observer put it, "he has done everything well." About 3 years into his work, Jesus, quote, "set his face to go to Jerusalem." The imagery here is of when you clench your jaw and drive forward, not looking to the right or left. He's dead set on the capital city, and behind that, his death and resurrection. This is the apex of his career. And when he finally gets there, after 3 years of buildup, he prays this thought-provoking prayer to the Father. "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." In one version of Jesus' story, his last words are, "It is finished." How could Jesus say that? There was so much work left to be done. The world was still in shambles, a black hole of need. His disciples were in hiding. The church in Jerusalem was 120 people on a good day. The New Testament wasn't even written yet. The religious elite were hostile towards him. He was an enemy of the state. Injustice was ubiquitous. And he says, "That's a wrap." There's a lot we can learn from Jesus about work. Shocking, I know. A few observations. First, Jesus worked with a staggering amount of focus.